I'd love to dive straight in and just following the theme of the morning, if all of this is true, if God really does have a purpose for your life, if he really does want to use you, if he really does want to impact Melkbos, my question would be this, and your surroundings and your friends and your family, and my question would be, what do you have to give? Like, if you're going to be a part of PM, that's super cool. What do you have to bring? What are you bringing? If you're a part of AM and you're staying and God's going to use you, my question is, and I'm hoping you're feeling a little bit like, hang on, that wasn't on the form. Like, that wasn't a prerequisite. We didn't have to do anything. We just had to say yes. And I want to maybe this morning, I'll start with the story of the disciple, and then I want to look at what is it that we have to bring? Because as much as it is Jesus building his church, he chooses, in all of his wisdom, and I don't understand it all the time, to use very broken, very fragile things like you and me. And he wants to use you in the advancements of his kingdom. But you've got to have something that he wants you to bring. And so if we can read from Acts 3, verse 1 to 6. And Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer. And as they approached the temple, a lame man from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going in. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. He asked them for what they have. Peter and John looked at him intently and said, "Look at us." And I can imagine at that point the guy got a little bit stoked because he's like, finally. They said, "Look at us." And as he looks at them, he gives them attention. The man looked at them eagerly. Meaning, he looked at them expecting to get something. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold, i.e., I actually don't have what you're looking for. But what I do have, I'll give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." And then we read further on in Acts, there's this miracle where the man, that was bothering me in my pocket. Where this man goes from being lame to healed, and it causes a massive uproar in the city, and there becomes this case of, what did they do? Why did they do it? And it says this in Acts 3, verse 16. It was through faith in the name of Jesus that this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. And I want to say this. Do you know what you do have to give in every area, in every sphere, in every part of who you are? You have faith that the Lord wants to use through your life in the outworking in the rest of your life. Can we show that picture on the AV that I put up? Look at that bad boy. You will not believe it. This is the great, 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 great grandfather of your mind control device, or your cell phone, sorry. The thing that gets most your attention all the time, especially if you're honest with yourself and you look at your screen time. This thing, that is actually the prototype of the cell phone. It is called the Motorola DynaTAC. I'm like, I want one. Just based on that name, I am in. I want one. It was invented in 1963, and it comes in at a small and slender 9.5 inches tall. Perfect for those new baggy pants that kids are wearing. It weighs just over 1.1 kilograms. So also, if you're alone on the beach and someone wants it, you can give it to them. It's a protection device as well. Literally the same weight and size of a brick. It would be like walking around with a brick. But do you know what is very unique about the Motorola DynaTAC? That is the prototype for the concept. That is the prototype for having a mobile device. A device where you can at any time, anywhere, hopefully with signal, you can phone someone and you can speak to them without cables. That is the prototype what this is for. It is the first of its kind. And everything else that comes after this will reflect a strong part of this. Doesn't matter how fancy this device gets or how many cameras they decide to stick on the back. It will always need to be what the Motorola DynaTAC was, which was a mobile cellular device. Do you know that in the Bible we have a prototype for faith? And it's a man who the Bible consistently refers to him. Actually, so the Bible doesn't say prototype, but it would say this, the father of faith. That there is a man whose life we can look at as an example. And even though it might look a little more old school and it might look a little different, the essence of faith actually was first lived out in an example in the Bible by this man named Abraham. I'm one of them and so are you. You know that guy? And so I'd love to take a moment this morning to look at the story of the life of Abraham. And the question is, what are you going to give? If faith is what you can give people, does your faith look like the prototype? Because I could stand up here with a camera and I could say, this is a camera. It can take photos and it has a battery. Is it anything like the prototype? No. It doesn't communicate wirelessly. That's the point of the cell phone. And the same with faith. There is a prototype for faith that is shown in the Bible that it actually says, if you have faith, if you live like this, you are children of Abraham. You are following the prototype. And so I would love us to look at his life, to say, man, if I look at my life and I look at the life of Abraham, does my life look anything like the prototype? It's not going to look exactly the same. It's not going to be 9.5 inches tall and weigh a kilogram, but it is going to resemble the purpose. It's in a different context, but it's the same thing. Does that make sense? And this is where this begins, and it starts in this. Genesis 15, verse 6. And Abraham, what is the root and the foundation of faith? He believed the Lord. Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his belief. And so the first thing I want to say about this, I want to say the prototype for our faith is not in what we believe about God. It's that actually we believe God. When he speaks, we don't just, we think. We believe God, that we take God at his word. That we don't just read or find something super nice about him and, oh, that's a great thing that he said. No. That when we read something in the Bible, when we read something about the word through the word of God, when we read about God, we don't just believe what God says. We believe God. That when he would say he has a plan and a purpose for your life, that he has a destiny that he wants to call you into, that he has a mission that he wants to accomplish through your life, we don't just, oh, that's nice. No, I believe it, which means I live according to what I believe. Do you know what the irony is? A lot of people will tell you what they believe in, but I can actually tell you by you what you believe in, by how you live your life. Because true belief shapes action. You live out of what you really believe, not what you tell us you believe. If you drive a Toyota, you really do believe that you never want to break down because you've made a decision to buy a car that's never going to break down. If you buy a Land Rover, you're probably a great mechanic. You are great at fixing things. I can tell what you believe by the decisions that you make. I can tell what you think is most important because it's what you spend all your money on. In Benoni, I had a friend of mine who's in eldership with me. Incredible guy. He used to run all the operations for us in our church. An incredible businessman, great with finances. And he used to say to me, whenever we would help, the church is always helping people with financial need. It's one of the privileges of being a part of the church is that we care for each other. And whenever we would help people in financial distress, when we would look at their finances, he would say, I can tell you what somebody values by looking at their budget without having a single conversation with them. Because where your heart is, there your treasure will be. It's just a fact. Where you spend your money is what is important to you. Your belief shapes your behavior. Your behavior doesn't shape your belief. And this is what we see with Abraham. He believed God, but it didn't just result in him believing the Lord. That meant that when the Lord spoke, he obeyed. And so in Romans 4, verse 1 to 3, Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God if his goods being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. For the scripture tells us, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. That means it isn't what Abraham did that made him righteous. It's the fact that he believed God and did something. It's not what he did. It's the fact that he did something. And I'm saying, I think we live in a culture and we live in an age and we live in a time where people are very happy to tell you what they believe. But does your life measure up to what you believe? Because that's what the Lord looked at Abraham and he said, that is what makes him righteous. He doesn't just say he believes me, he obeys me, he follows me, he does what I told him to. You see, it's the recipe of a Christian. It's the internal conviction leads to the outward lifestyle. That's what is the secret sauce of a believer. What we believe in our hearts affects. Why would we plant a Markbos PM? Because we believe that the Lord wants to reach people with the gospel. Why would we, last weekend, we planted two congregations in the Edgemead suburb. Why would we do that? Because we want to make space and we want to make more opportunity for people to come to know Jesus. Why would we do what we do with our lives? Because we believe what the Lord has said. That is what the Lord says. That is a credit to them as righteous. It's not the fact that they go to church. It's the fact that we find belief in what we do. Don't just do it because you think it's a good idea. Find faith. Is God speaking in this? And if it is, I have to obey him. How can I not obey him? Amen. Yay. Galatians 3, verse 6. In the same way Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith, the real children of Abraham, the real followers of the prototype, are those who put their faith in God. If you want to reflect the Motorola Dynatech of faith, it is those who put their faith in God. It's not those who listen to the best preaching, those who outwardly appear to be the best, those who live a certain... No. It's those who put their faith in God are following the model. That's what makes you a child of Abraham. But I wanted to say this. What does the faith journey look like? Because I think sometimes we can assume that if faith equals righteous, and my life is not always very righteous, that means I often lack faith in that situation. We think as much. And I want to show you how messed up the journey of faith can actually be. Because it's not perfect faith. It's faith in a perfect God. It's not my faithfulness. It's his faithfulness. And so the Lord speaks to Abraham and he says to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to leave. I want you to go. I'm going to turn you into a nation. I'm going to do all these things. And Abraham's like, okay, cool. He goes on his way. And as he goes on his way, then the Lord gives him this promise and says, Abraham, I'm going to give you, obviously, if you're going to become a nation, we're going to start with, I'm going to give you children. And his wife is barren. But I'd love to show you this great man, Abraham, and what his faith journey looked like. One of the first things that happened with Abraham is that after he leaves and the Lord has told him, Abraham, I want to send you to a different land and I'm going to make your descendants like the sand and like the stars in the sky. I'm going to give you children, Abraham. Do you know what the first thing he does when he leaves the promised land, well, where he leaves where he's from and he's going towards the promised land? The first thing he does when he comes into opposition is that there is a king in the land. And Sarah must have had a really good spa routine. Because she's roughly 65, 70 in her prime. And it says that this king, Abimelech, he notices Sarah traveling through his land. And he's like, she's gorgeous. It's Abraham's wife. And so he comes towards them and he wants to know, I want to have her. And you know what Abraham does? I don't stress, she's my sister. You can have her. Huh? Husbands. If you want some marriage advice, this is not a good thing. This is not like a good strategy of God in how to, this is a pretty bad idea. If God's like, I want to use you and your wife and I want to make you a nation, so he gives his wife away. How is the nation going to come without Sarah? It's impossible. And so even in this journey of faith, Abraham fears, and he did it out of fear. He has a moment where in his fear, he actually throws away everything. The journey of faith is not this perfect walk where we get everything right because I heard God on Monday and then I lived. Actually, this journey of faith in belief in God is there are times when we actually do our best to mess this up. And by all means, it's not the right thing to do, but it does happen. And I've done that. That's been my life story. Planting PM is not just going to be sunshine and roses. Because now that you've committed and you've gone up and everyone knows, I can scare you now. Because it's great to be a part of a crowd and it's cool and we're all together. And now when you plant and it's going to feel quite thin. And all of a sudden, every one person feels far more like we need everyone to be here this week. You're like, yeah, but Bruce, Yellens is firing. Yeah, but actually, we need everyone to be here this week. And you're like, oh, no, that's not what I signed up for. No, it's going to have hardship that comes with it. It's going to face up. It's going to be scary at times. When Dylan comes to you and says, hey, listen, I need you to lead a comm. You're like, Bruce, you've got the wrong guy. And Abraham has this response in fear where he actually nearly completely throws it away. So the first one was Pharaoh. And the Lord comes and he sends plagues and he speaks to Pharaoh and he says, don't you touch her. And Pharaoh comes back to Abraham and he's like, bro, why didn't you tell me this was your wife? Like God nearly wiped Pharaoh and Egypt out. And so Abraham takes his wife and he carries on the journey. Incredible guy, faithful guy. And then he comes to another land, and Sarah, good-looking Sarah, there's a problem with Sarah. She must have been a pretty lady, because they come into another land where there is another king. And Abraham is the man of faith. He's definitely learned his lesson. I mean, in the process, after giving his wife away, Sarah decides, actually, Abraham, after the Lord has promised Sarah, I will give you a son. How often have we done this in our lives? When the Lord has spoken so clearly about, I will do this, and we think, okay, then I'll do it. I'll make it happen. And so Sarah comes to Abraham, and she says, no, actually, Abraham, I can't fall pregnant. Take my slave, take Hagar, and have a child with her, so I can have a child through her. Let me, actually, sometimes in this journey of faith, we're even ambitious and we grasp for the things that God might have promised us, but he hasn't yet given us. The timing might not yet be there. And so Hagar has Ishmael, who goes on to be Isaac's thorn in his flesh for his whole life. And we see those two brothers split. If you look back now, you can see what a massive, massive problem it was in Abraham trying to fulfill this thing in his own life. And so this is after giving his wife away, then he does this. And then he goes into another land where there's another king. And Abraham has learned his lesson. He's growing in the Lord. And so when another king comes to his caravan and he sees Abraham and his families, he comes towards him and he wants to take Sarah. And Abraham says, sure, that's my sister. Guys, I'm not joking. This is in the Bible. He literally gives his wife away the second time. Like, my wife is very gracious. Very gracious. And I think Liz could process us through me giving her away once. But the second time, the second time we're going to have problems. That one is going to be hard to come back from. Where again, Abraham in fear says, no, you can, we don't want any harm to come upon us. You know, God's got a calling on our life. You just, and again, gives his wife away. How is the promise going to come without Sarah? It's impossible. He does his best to mess it up. And God again appears in a dream and he returned her untouched. The king returns her untouched with gifts for Abraham. With gifts. Another guy's like, you see, it all worked out. It was the plan the whole time. I can imagine when she came back, she's like, Abraham, I'm going to kill her. And he's like, hey, look at the gifts. It worked out. It worked out. The point is, I think at times, and this is what has scared me about faith at times, I felt like it's my perfect faith that enables God to use me. It's not. It's my broken, weak faith in a very perfect God. It's the fact that we are very broken vessels and we get things wrong all the time and we mess it up. Most of you have given Sarah away at some point. No, not me. No, the Lord knows. Most of us have potentially thrown away, but his faithfulness to us. You see, faith for us is the fact that I can, when I believe the Lord and he says to me, if I come to him in repentance, I can be forgiven. That when Jesus tells the story of this redemptive father and the prodigal son, and he paints this picture of, and Jesus himself came to take the keys of Hades. He came to set the captive free. When you believe God, it affects the way that you live. That means when you mess it up, and we do mess it up, you don't go running from him, you come running to him. Perfect faith. On our side, it doesn't exist. It's faith in a perfect God. And the fact that he keeps us, he is faithful to us. I want to tell you this morning, regardless of what you are going through and what you are experiencing, and how different your circumstance can feel, I want to tell you, I know this about him. I know this like I know this. He is faithful. He doesn't start something in you and not bring it to completion. The Bible says he is the author and the perfecter. And this is not just about church life and planting congregations. This is about your personal life. He is committed to you from the moment that you come towards him and you give your life to him and you are born again. He is faithful to you. If you would just, out of your faith in him and your belief in him, come towards him. That's why the Bible is so clear, that their righteousness doesn't come because of their actions. And there's so many scriptures where you can go into this. Our good standing with God doesn't come because of our good behavior. Our righteousness before the Lord comes because of our faith in him. And our faith in him determines the way that we live. We live differently because of that. But you don't have to earn this. You don't have to work to see yourself approved and then God. No. It starts with faith in God and then it results in a life that is poured out, that is lived out in obedience. It's a natural fruit of belief. That's why I started by saying, don't tell me what you believe, show me. Our faith is not what we say about him. It's how we live according to what we believe about him. Our best offering, our best church plants don't count as righteousness. Our most successful things we do in life, the biggest business deal, the most amount we ever contributed, the most people we led to the Lord, the best things that we did, that's none of that. It's our faith in the Lord. And when we are a people that live out of a conviction of we believe him. Not just in him, we believe him. It's not Abraham believed in God. And he believed that what God said was right and what God said was true. No, he believed God. And he had a relationship. He was considered a friend of God. So I want to say this and then I'm going to land. There's a few statements. This is real faith. Real faith comes with risk and loss. Real faith feels very risky at times. Real faith, it's not perfect faith, I've said that many times. Real faith struggles to trust God's will and timing. Huh? No, you can have real faith and be wrestling with the Lord about his timing and his will. That doesn't mean it's not faith. We sometimes assume that faith is only saying the right things. That's why word of faith can be an extreme, because it's about the words of faith. No, no, no. Faith is not even just in my words. Faith is in what I believe about the Lord to be true. It's not what I say to be true. It's what I believe in my heart. And so you can struggle and have faith inside. But when you have real faith, it forces you towards the Lord, not away from him. Real faith has and always will be rooted in Jesus. Real faith always results in obedience. The long-term side effect of having faith in God is that you obey him. Obedience is such a taboo word at the moment. You can't talk about obey. You can't say obey, obey, obey. I'm like, no, guys, it's very simple for me. I don't obey God because I'm scared of him. The Bible teaches that it's out of love that we obey. If you love me, you'll obey me. It's that level. It's not if you're scared of me, you'll obey me. No, if you love me, healthy fear of the Lord, great thing to have, but obedience is rooted in love. It's rooted in our love for the Father, our love for him, the one that I have faith in. I promise you, if you do things because you're afraid of not doing them, it only takes you so far. I was in ministry and very often doing things out of fear, not love. Even successful in ministry, afraid of the hiding, afraid of the harshness, or living in fear of God, and oh, I don't want to go to hell, or I don't want to be disciplined, or I don't want to be judged, or you can have a negative perspective of God, and you do things out of a fear of him, and I'm saying to you, no, there's a whole nother way, and it's where you have, your obedience is rooted in your love. Oh, I love to be near you. I love to be around. I love to be with you. I want to do what you say because I want to be, Jesus said, my servants will be where I am. I want to be near you. And real faith always grows as God proves faithful. Every time when we have faith in the Lord, I don't know if you've experienced this. Sometimes you're like, God, I'm going to really trust you for something. And I'm holding on and I'm hoping. And then he does it. Doesn't it do something inside of you? That the next time that there comes a situation that you need to face, your faith has actually grown as God has proven himself faithful. You're actually like, oh my goodness, I know this is super daunting, but he did it just over there. Remember when he did that? And it actually gives you faith moving forward again. If he did it then, he can do it again. That's why testimony is so important. That's why sharing with what God is doing is so important. Because as God proves himself faithful, it builds our faith. That's what we sing and dance about in worship. That's why when other people come to know Jesus, it's our greatest faith builder. Because it means that what the Lord said he will do, he's doing. Amen. Yay. And real faith sees beyond this life. It enables you to not just live for now. 90 years. gone. In Hebrews 11, verse 8 to 10, it says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed God, and when God called him to leave home and go to another land, knowing God would give him as his inheritance, he went without knowing where he was going, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations. Abraham was not living for just what's going to happen in my lifetime. He was living for a city with eternal foundations. When you live your life rooted in faith, you can live for eternity. You don't live for this right now. It's why we can sing songs like Death Has Lost Its Sting. Because I'm not living for these 90 years. I'm living for a city with eternal foundations. A city designed and built by God. Real faith enables us to live for eternity now. Now, there's two passages, and we won't go to them. And the one is in Mark 9 and Luke 17. The one is, there's this father whose son needs to be healed, and Jesus says to him, do you believe that I can? And he says, I do believe, but would you help my unbelief? I want to say that at times, even in that, the Lord is faithful to that prayer. That actually at times we can sit and say, God, I know it to be true. I know you could do this. I know you can intervene in my situation. But if I'm honest with you, could you help my unbelief? I believe you in my heart, but I don't believe you with my feet. I believe that you can do it, but I don't believe you enough that I'm willing to do it. Oh Lord, would you help my unbelief? For even his own disciples said this. They said, Lord, show us how to increase our faith. How do you increase this? And it's very simple. It's coming to, Lord, would you help my unbelief? Lord, would you increase my faith? That actually for this congregation, on both sides of the fence. I know we're planting a PM, but there's so many of you that you're almost replanting the AM and the PM at the same time. It's not an old and a new. It's two new things completely. As a member, if you're staying to be a part of the AM congregation, I'm asking you, would you do that with faith inside of you? Not to just continue with the status quo, but actually, Lord, there is so much more. There's so much space that needs to be filled. There's so many more opportunities for us to do. Actually, Lord, would you help me? Would you help my? We need more comm leaders. We've got comm leaders going. We've got elders. We need more elders. We need more worshipers. We need more people. Who's going to bring them? Who's going to invite them in? Actually, Lord, my response would be, Lord, I believe. Would you help my unbelief? Would you help me to not just say what I believe, but would you help me to live what I believe? And the same with going. If you're going to the PM, if you're being a part of a plant, it's incredible. And it is always funny because on these moments, and normally the first Sunday, last weekend we had the Edgemead 11 a.m. first Sunday, and it was epic, the 8:30 and the 11. At the 11 o'clock service, there were, because it's later, we had so many guys from every congregation go and visit the launch, which is incredible because the first service feels like there's over 200 people and this is incredible. Today, they probably got 50. It starts to get real all of a sudden. For PM, it's going to get real. What does it look like then for us? I wonder if you can bow our heads where we are. I'd love to pray with us this morning. I think there's so many components to this that the Lord has wanted to touch and highlight this morning, even from ministry in the worship time to praying for the guys who are going to plant, but then also just for the individual that you find yourself sitting here today. I really felt like, as I was, when I got up early this morning and I was reading through these notes, I really felt like that element where that father says to Jesus in his desperation, and he's like, Lord, I really do believe, but could you help my unbelief? I really felt that there's some this morning that the Lord really wanted to come and impart faith into us again. That maybe we've gone along the plan of we're following God, we're doing the faithful thing, but actually I'm not doing everything rooted in faith in my life. I'm in the habit of just doing the right thing, and I'm going through the motions. But actually, this morning, even if you continue doing the exact same thing, the Lord wants the motivation behind it to be different. That you wouldn't just do it because you believe in God, but actually, I do these things because I believe you, Lord. That everything that we do is actually a response of faith of who we believe in. Maybe we can just stand together, all of us. I want to say this. I never want to miss an opportunity, and I don't know everybody here. But I'd love to ask you this morning, as we're speaking about faith, maybe for some, you don't have faith at all. You don't serve the Lord. You've never served the Lord. You don't consider yourself a Christian. Or maybe you've been someone who at some point in your life, maybe you did do the Christian thing. But currently, you don't see yourself living and serving the Lord. And I'd love to give an opportunity this morning. If that's you this morning and you'd love to respond to say, actually, Jesus, I want to surrender my life. I actually see you. I actually want to give you my life. I want to surrender. I want to help my unbelief. If there's anyone like that this morning, before we pray for anyone else, can you just raise your hand where you are? It's amazing. I wonder if you could just... Anyone else? That's incredible. I want to say this morning. We never want to miss an opportunity. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask us, we're just going to all pray together. Lord Jesus, I believe. I believe that because of you, I can be forgiven. That I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Because of what you've done, I can be forgiven. I want to be your child. In your wonderful name. If you did pray that for the first time this morning, or if you prayed that as a recommitment in your heart, I'd love it if you could chat to somebody afterwards. I'd love it if you could say to someone, man, there is something about this in my heart that I need the Lord to help me in this. I want to live out of faith. I don't want to live without faith. And then for the rest of us, I really did feel like the Lord wanted to reignite faith inside of us this morning. And I was with the worship guys, I think like a week ago, and we were talking about worship, and it came down to our faith, bringing an offering with faith. And we're talking about church planting, and it's like, would we do this in faith? And it's not, I wanted to clarify, it's not just for the sake of faith. It's who we have our faith in. It's that Jesus at the center of the scale. It's him at the center of our life. And so I'd love to pray with us this morning. Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone standing here this morning. All of us, as we've come before you. Father, I pray, would you impart a new level of faith inside of us? Maybe for some of us, we've started to live out of just, it's the right thing to do, or I'm doing it because somebody's asked me to do it. Maybe you're here because your spouse asked you to come. Maybe you're here because it's an expectation on you this morning. Maybe you're doing it because it's the right thing to do. I pray, Lord, we want to pray like that, Father. Would you help our unbelief, actually? Lord, I pray that anybody who's doing any kind of service this morning in the kingdom out of duty, would you replace that with faith in the name of Jesus? That there's actually this gift that you can impart in us. Because when we do it through faith, it breaks open life and abundance. Lord, I pray that out of Melkbosch that there would be this sense of faith within us to pray for the sick, to see the lost saved, to see you come into our business, to see you save our family members, to see you save our friends, to impact our world. Lord Jesus, that we wouldn't do anything out of just, oh, I'm a Christian and that's how I do it, but we would live rooted in a life that stems from, I believe God. I believe who He is. I believe what He says. I believe what He says He will do, He will do. I thank you for this, Jesus, in your wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Dan. For those of you visiting us, thank you so much for your time. Really just appreciate it. I know we've gone a little bit over time, but this morning was a little bit of a different service, just a beautiful time. But and thank you, Dan, for just, yes, I'm feeling like I can run. Give me that heel, Lord, I'll take it, you know, like, so guys, we're going to end our service here. Please connect with some guys. If you're visiting us, there's a free pancake and a coffee at the back for you. Please stay. Gary's opening up his home this afternoon. If you're visiting us, Gary, don't you just want to raise your hand? Is someone here? There we go. If you don't know who Gary is, tell me, I'll point to you. We're going to have some fellowship, and we'll see you guys in the week. PM, we'll see you next week. Don't come to AM, but we'll see you next week. Love you all. See you in the week.